This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi folks, welcome to another one of our political chats. It is the morning after the day before. The comet has hit the Labour Party, and I mean, I'm going to try not to look so happy about it throughout this whole thing, but it's been great for...
Well, not only did the comet hit, it then reversed up and then just ran over Labour again and then just did that a few more times.
Yeah, and not just Labour. So it's been quite bad so far. However, most of the results actually still aren't in. With local council elections and the devolved councils, they actually don't count them through the night, even though the votes are counted in the thousands rather than the tens or hundreds of thousands.
Yes.
So they could have done, but they don't for whatever reason.
And there is a little bit of a bias here in that the in-city places are more likely to count through the night because they've got the infrastructure to do it and they've got less travelling to get them there.
Yep.
So it's the leafier places. But nevertheless, that's well understood in British politics. And therefore, even though the first results are extra skewed towards urban centres, we can take that into account.
Yeah. And so there are lots of results that aren't out yet, but we're going to go through the ones that are out. We're recording this at about 11 o'clock on Friday morning. So we have a fair amount in, actually, which is enough to draw some conclusions. And the conclusions aren't great. So we're going to go through what the predictions were and then see how they're beginning to stack up with the results. So, I mean, this is just an article from, The Telegraph or someone like that? New Statesman, sorry. I've just picked this as just a common barometer of the expectations of these results. It's just that this is going to be a wipeout in England.
Mm.
Labour are just going to get creamed.
I mean, these expectations are important because if Labour had had just a bad night and they were expected to have a terrible night, Starmer could have a credible claim to hanging on. Spoiler alert, he did not have just a bad night.
Well, we'll get into it. Again, just as we were talking before, the polls haven't really shifted overall. Reform on 25, so they've gone up 1 point on average from their 24 slump. So they've recovered slightly and they've plateaued there.
Another very mild spoiler alert. Even though Reform have come off quite a lot, it goes to show what you can do when all your opposition is fragmented as...
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the most notable thing here really is the Greens have had a bit of a slump recently.
Yes.
But they're still well within the sort of 16 to 18 percentage points. The Lib Dems, not really anything's changed. And Restore Britain, of course, still down at 4%, which is good for a party that still isn't being prompted on the polls. Mm. So the projections for the seats look something like this. Now, this Stats for Lefties does incredible work when it comes to the actual objective data. Don't look at their profile. But the work they do is genuinely incredible. And what this is an average of projections produced by 8 polling experts that didn't use AI, so that aren't just AI slop. And so the final projected results they've come to is 1,656 for Reform, 656 for Greens, 152 for Lib Dems, other, which includes lots of Muslim independents, 99, but that would also include Restore, minus 760 for the Conservatives, and minus 1,803 for the Labour Party. Now, there are about 5,000 seats being contested.
And I think there's like 12,000 in total, or is it 16? There's a lot more.
It's about a third of the seats
that
are being contested today, or yesterday. And Labour have about 2,500 of them, something like that. Mm. So there's a lot that Labour can lose, and they are being projected that they will lose. There are loads of these projections, of course. And you've got other projections where you've got people saying, well, 1,400 for the Reform Party and then Labour losing 1,300 or somewhere between 900 to 1,300. Because, of course, these are all, you know, up in the air. But so it's basically the same story that everyone has, which is, well, it's going to be rough for everyone on the ground. Rough for the two-party system, right?
Yes.
The Labour and the Conservatives.
As we've been saying on this show for a long time, the centre is just dead.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah. Sky News actually have quite a good breakdown here, and this is where they point out there's 25,000 candidates competing for the 5,000 seats, which is actually, as they tell us, an unprecedented level of choice for local elections. Mm. Because again, local elections normally get about 29-30% of turnout. People are not really that bothered about them generally for some reason, but this one has become particularly fascinating.
I mean, for years in this country, it was normal to have two choices. It wasn't unheard of to have a single choice. Yeah. Because people just didn't take local elections seriously. And I don't think people do take local elections seriously at this point, but they are willing to use them as effectively a UK midterms.
That is generally how this is being received by not just the political class, but I think people in general. I think it is being understood that, no, we're actually going to cause a bit of a ruckus here, because the turnout from what has come out so far does seem to be higher than normal.
Yes.
We'll get into that in a bit. But the point that you made, that our electoral system being completely shattered and fragmented, is not something it is actually designed for.
No.
And this is really beginning to show here, because they point out that in the 2024 elections, one candidate won a seat with 15% support. 15% of the vote.
Okay.
Right, because so many options on the map, if you get like 5%, 7%, yeah. 8%. Well, I got 15%.
Well, that's continental politics, that is.
Yes, but it's in a system that's not designed for it. Mm. So it's in the first past the post, so it's winner take all.
Well, I mean, that's if you listen to mainstream media, which I dipped into a little bit this morning, they're all saying that they don't think the two-party system could survive, that the first past the post can't survive on the back of this. That's not my take on it, because actually changing something as fundamental as the first past the post is a major... That would actually be more difficult than just deporting all the nons, for example. It is a major constitutional shake-up. But I think they're right that our political system is not designed for this level of fragmentation. So probably what's going to happen is some of the parties are just going to have to die, which is why we're going to get into whatever the new paradigm is. And these results are a strong indication as to what that's going to look like.
Yeah, and that's why this local election, this set of local elections is so interesting to the political commentariat.
Oh, yeah.
Because we are witnessing in real time the death of the old world.
Yeah, I think I heard on the Bo show this morning, Breakfast with Bo, do check that out every morning, that's good. One of the super chats he had in at the end was apparently the Americans were announcing they discovered alien life today or something.
Oh, are they? Yeah.
I mean, interesting, but nobody in Britain is going to care about that at all. I mean,
nobody in Britain is paying attention to that whatsoever.
Because this is more important.
Yeah, no, this actually matters. Yes. Things are going badly for Labour, and so the backstabbing has begun. Now, this is a remarkable insider article from The Telegraph, because apparently a group of Labour MPs have prepared an open letter demanding a timetable for Keir Starmer's resignation,
yeah.
Because they were well aware, oh my God, this is going to be horrible. I mean, literally a bloodbath. Number 10 found that Wes Streeting has apparently secretly gathered the 81 MPs needed to trigger a formal leadership challenge. How do you think they found out about that?
Wow. I mean, when it's 81 people and they're MPs, I mean, they're not exactly going to be that good at keeping secrets. So they've probably been telling journalists for months now.
Yeah, you'd think that would be the way that they'd find out, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
No, it turns out that some retard accidentally texted Downing Street the secret plan. This is the level of incompetence in the Labour Party.
Yes. Those are the people I want running the country.
Yeah, exactly. You can't even run your own secret plots. You absolute morons.
Right. Right.
And yep. another thing that comes out of this is that Starmer is just so historically unpopular. His own candidates were literally begging him to stay away from the campaign trail.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things I did notice. If you looked at any of the election campaigning material that Labour candidates put out,
Didn't have him on it.
Not only did it definitely not have him on it, quite a lot of the time they didn't even have the word Labour on it.
Yeah.
They tried to present them as independent candidates because they knew that if they had Labour, or even, God forbid, if they had Keir Starmer on the leaflet, they were just done.
And that's normally what the Conservatives do.
Yeah.
Yes. he made only 11 visits in the campaigning season of 2 months because voters, of course, find him completely toxic.
Mm.
Now, this is not good, but also what's not good for Labour is their coalition is just falling apart. As Five Pillars point out here, British Muslims are abandoning Labour in historic numbers. There's only 33% of Muslims in areas of high Muslim population density would vote for Labour. That's really brutal.
I mean, if it wasn't...
It used to be 90%.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be 90%.
I mean, if it wasn't that it came along with the destruction of my country, I'd probably find this really funny.
Yes.
Because Labour spent 30 years bringing in as many Muslims as they possibly could under the assumption that they would vote Labour and they would get to be in power forever.
Dissolving
and
the
what
electorate,
actually happened
a new
is they brought in so many that they decided, you know what, we can actually just do our own thing now. We don't need Labour anymore. And so it split Labour down the middle that all of their new voters have gone on. They offended their existing voters to such a degree that they've gone as well. So even the Conservatives somehow are in a better position than Labour, because Labour has just broken their whole internal coalition apart with this.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, look at these numbers. So out of the 90% that they had up until only a few years ago, now it's only 33%. 27% of them would vote Green, which, again, exactly what you'd expect. 14% would go for a pro-Gaza independent, and this is what you're saying.
Yep.
9% would vote Conservative, and 5% would vote Reform.
Well... And Nigel Farage will invest an enormous amount of energy in driving that to 6.5% and probably fail.
All that pandering for 5%.
Yes.
What a terrible embarrassment.
So much and what you're going to see is basically it's going to cascade through that. So of those remaining Labour Muslims, a lot of them will trickle into the Greens.
Yep.
But it's going to be the same story all over again. It's going to be, this is a vehicle to get us so far.
Yeah.
And the moment, I mean, a bit like, the president of Turkey, Erdogan, said this years ago. He said the democracy is a bus and you get off when it gets you to where you're going.
Yeah. And that's true for these people.
Mm.
And so, I mean, it's true for everyone, but it's like, I hate using the word sectarian because sectarian implies internal conflict within a particular religion. Right, as in, this is an alien religion that's not having. Yeah. We can't have a sectarian.
Is there a better word? Because I can't.
No, not really. Right. That's the problem. But anyway, look, this was eminently predictable.
Yes,
right? This was eminently predictable. All right, when you give them a critical mass, they'll end up voting for their own pro-Gaza independence, will they?
Yep.
Yeah, until they get a proper Muslim party, they will. Yeah,
yes.
And one day they'll get like in Belgium I think it's the Netherlands as well, have like an actual Islamist party at this point.
Yes.
It's like, oh, great, that's what...
Well, and if politics stays fragmented, to your point, you can normally win on, like, 30% of the vote.
Yeah.
But as you pointed out, you can sometimes win on 15% of the vote. Lots of cities and lots of regions, lots of constituencies in this country today, because, yes, our Muslim population isn't actually that large. Americans sometimes think it's much larger.
It's only about 7 or 8%.
Yeah.
Officially, it's 6.5, but it's probably about 7 or 8%.
But where they are... They come in numbers.
That's right.
So they
concentrated in the urban.
Yeah, they will be able to have their own Lib Dem-sized party quite soon, probably the next election.
Yeah, yeah. No, unfortunately, that's definitely true. In fact, we can map it out. So there's the Muslim Council of Britain actually have some numbers on this. They say that there are 32 out of the 650 constituencies with a significant, which is 20% or more, Muslim population aged 18 years and above. So you can expect there to be around 30 Gaza MPs come the next election.
I mean, just remarkable.
Yeah, I mean,
just that Gaza has 30 MPs in Britain.
Yeah, thank you, Tony Blair and the Conservative Party for really rubbing our faces in diversity.
Yeah, mission achieved.
Yeah, mission accomplished. Good job. But I guess that explains the net favourabilities, right? Everyone hates everyone. Keir Starmer, obviously. Rishi Sunak back there in October, minus 30. Keir Starmer, minus 45. Nigel Farage, minus 16. So that's not bad. Ed Davey, minus 12. Kemi Badenoch, weirdly only on minus 6. But she's a bit of a non-entity.
That's the other normie media take. That if you listen to the normie media, they will say that the Conservatives and the Labour have the opposite problem. In Labour, Keir Starmer is even more unpopular than his party somehow.
Yeah.
But Kemi Badenoch is more popular than her party.
Yes.
Okay, yes, normie commentators, that is true. But it's still negative.
Yeah.
Right? It's still all the way down. Right, and also the other thing about this chart, right, is the only reason it looks comprehensible is because they can scale it because everybody is negative. If you were to put Naiba Kaili on this same chart,
oh God, yeah,
the scaling would be so off that you wouldn't be able to read the bit at the bottom.
Yeah, his positive figure is about plus 75%.
Yes.
Which is a net plus 75.
Yes.
As in, he gets about 80 to 90%.
You made a good video on your recently where you said, look, what if a politician just presses the fix everything button? What happens? Plus 75% favourability. And in this country, all we get is explanations as to why you can't have what you want.
Yes.
Everybody is negative. And Kemi Badenoch is held out to be some sort of master politician because she's on minus six.
I mean, that's true. But look at Keir Starmer. He began with a positive rating.
He
began with like a plus 10 rating, which is surprisingly good. I mean, no one else has had that. And then chunk.
Yes.
Southport.
And then he had the brilliant idea of responding to a mass murder by blaming parents who were upset about it.
By berating and hectoring the white British population, yes, being upset that their children are being stabbed by foreigners.
And that within the first few months of his leadership ensured that Labour would probably never form a government again.
Yeah.
Right, and then recently he has seen the Mandelson crisis. Mm-hmm. He was seen to have pushed through a friend of a paedophile, yep, into a key influence position where he was literally giving away state secrets for access to whatever goes on in that island.
And that's really like a friend of a paedophile is kind of underselling it as well.
Yes,
like a friend of the world's most notorious paedophile.
Well, yes,
trafficker.
Yes, and if that wasn't bad enough, literally giving away state secrets at sensitive crisis points. So I mean. How is he still on minus 45?
Yeah, I know. What does a Keir Starmer supporter look like at this point? But the thing we haven't mentioned is one Mr. Polanski.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
As you can see, his favourability was doing quite well, but that's because most of the electorate just didn't know who he was.
Well, he was ahead of Farage quite recently, wasn't he?
And because there'd be, you know, the sort of 30% who were like, yeah, I love Zach Polanski, like, you know, 10 or 15%, yes, like, whatever the numbers are, but the percentage that don't like Zach Polanski, but then like 50% of people are like, I've never heard of Zach Polanski.
They hadn't made up their mind yet.
His star has been steadily rising. He's become a national figure.
So essentially what we're saying is quite important to make a good first impression on those 50%. When you do cut through to that 50%, make sure that you're presenting them with an image that they can think, yeah, that's right, I agree with that.
Yeah, don't be like, I'm annoyed that you're kicking a man who stabbed people in the face and the head. The police definitely shouldn't be kicking this guy to get the knife out of his hand after he's literally just stabbed two people in the face.
Yeah, I mean, for anyone who's not British watching, we had a stabbing in, was it London?
Golders Green.
Golders Green in London, which is a very Jewish area.
Muslim man decided, oh, there's some Jews here, I will stab them in the face.
Yes.
And the police, unarmed, grabbed this guy, put him to the floor, tasered him.
But he wouldn't let go of the knife.
And so they started kicking him in the head to get him to let go of the knife. And Zach Polanski was like,
that's unacceptable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, the fact that he wasn't shot immediately is unacceptable.
Yes. Yeah. But that was the first thing that got through to the 50% of the people who hadn't heard him.
Yeah.
Thus, the almost straight line down.
14 points downwards.
Yes.
So not great for Mr. Polanski. But this has always been the problem with the Greens, is that normally in historic times, the Greens were just kind of kooks, like eco-kooks. But it was very clear
that it was seen as harmless.
Yeah, exactly. Seen as like, you know, harmless, sort of eccentric eco-coups, like kind of like Piers Corbyn type.
Yeah,
right?
Sandal-wearing, yogurt-weaving lentilists, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And what Polanski has done is, and this has been happening for a while, but they've been sort of bringing in the sort of radical left into the party to pander to radical leftists, student radical leftists, and foreigners. And so, okay, that's great. And you've still got the green branding. So underneath the actual branding, something has changed. Something substantively different has changed. It's only a matter of time until the public eventually sees that.
Oh, yeah.
And when they finally see what the Green Party has become, they're going to be like, oh, right, I don't want that. And so all really that we want about Zach Polanski is further exposure to the public.
Yes.
That's what we want. I know. I want him to see the open borders policies. Yes. I want him to see the pandering to minorities policies. I want him to see the I'm going to destroy the economy policies. And I want him to just say, yeah, basically, I'm going to offer up your country as a buffet to everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, that's what their policies are. I was at a family gathering not so long ago, which with the way that the generation sizes in the UK work means I've got loads of aunts and uncles because they're boomers. And there's loads of them. They're literally a baby boom, right?
Yeah.
And the subject.
Yeah, I had like 12 of them.
And the subject of the Greens came up, and they were talking about them like they're actually a Green Party. And I was sat there listening to this and thinking, should I? No,
that's good. That's good. Let's talk about them like they're actually a Green Party. How do you explain this person? Right, this is one of their candidates, who herself is descended from a Nigerian royal house, like Dr. Shola, Chauti Shola, who herself is the descendant of slave traders,
right?
Because that's what the Nigerian royal houses were.
Yes,
they would sell them
big time
to the British, in fact, and to the Portuguese and to whoever else.
In fact, they when we stopped the slave trade, it was those guys who went mental. It's like, what? You're cutting off our business?
They literally begged us to not do this. And she's the descendant of that, saying, no, we need to be paying reparation to black people. It's like, but that would be you, and that would mean that you want reparations for lost business. So essentially, this sounds like an invocation of tort law, as in you're interfering with my contracts.
I mean, talk about double dipping.
Yeah. Why this person is in the Green Party? Is the question, right? How do you explain that to your boomer aunts and uncles?
But like, the way I would actually explain it is white people are stupid enough to get conned like this.
Yes. And you're one of them because you think the Greens are about the environment.
Yes.
So anyway, just to be clear, there's also local devolved elections in Scotland and Wales at the moment, but these results won't be until later anyway. But the breaking news, Labour are going to get crushed in both of them. It looks like Plaid Cymru and Reform will be vying for first place in Wales, which has been held by Labour for 27 years now.
I mean, again, to put this
again, since the beginning of the devolved parliaments,
to put Wales is Labour. Labour is Wales. It's effectively the same thing. To put this in perspective for anybody not from the UK, Welsh people are. I mean, they're just these. They want to be miners.
Yeah,
they're basically our dwarves. They're very annoyed that they have to be above ground. They don't really like it. Yeah. They want to be under there mining coal. Mm. And that is where the Labour Party effectively came from. The early Labour politicians were overwhelmingly Welsh. It is a Welsh creation. Yep. So for Labour to get wiped out, and well, they're not quite wiped out, but they've received a proper beating.
Brutal.
Yeah, in Wales. I mean, that is huge news.
Like I say, the results aren't in, but you're exactly right. It was Welshmen who created the Labour Party.
Yes.
And all like Nye Bevan and all that with the NHS and all this, right? And, you know, fair enough. This is, you know, a perfectly respectable thing to have done. And it was, of course, Labour who created the devolved parliaments.
Yep.
So the Welsh Senedd, and Wales have ruled it for 27 years as a fiefdom, and now they've lost it.
And basically, everything that the Labour Party have done, everything in that Blair revolution, rubbing the right's nose in diversity, so bringing massive diversity, that destroyed them because they brought in so many Muslims that they became dependent on them, and then they split out. This now, the devolved parliaments, again,
lost them all.
It screwed them on this. And of course, the signature Blair reform was basically taking all of the power out of parliament and pushing it into quangos. So that means that even if Labour wanted to do anything about anything, they can't now even do it. So Labour, basically,
a quick thing on that. Yeah. Keir Starmer literally said, I pull a lever and nothing happens.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, you are now finding yourself butting up to your own party's constitutional innovations.
But effectively, New Labour changed the rules in such a way as to guarantee 20, 30 years later their own destruction.
Yes.
And there's nothing they can do at this point.
The chickens are very clearly coming home to roost here. And I'm all for it because screw the Labour Party. Anyway, so let's get in some results so far. I'm just going to refresh this because, like I said, the results are still coming in and we've had this up for a little while. So just to make sure that we've got the latest data. So We've had about 1,000 seats come in. Reform have won 300 of them, which is not bad. Labour have lost 200 of them, but they have won 245. So it's not that they haven't won anything. It's that they've just lost about half of just
yeah,
half
but I mean, we're talking about... You've got to remember, a lot of people vote and have voted that way their entire lives.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think about politics ever. When they get involved in politics, they ask their parents who they vote for and they get told. And a lot of people don't think past that stage. Mm-hmm. So a lot of regions have been Labour forever, or at least the last 100 years, okay? And so actually there's a huge amount of momentum to overcome. So yes, they are going to win some seats. Well, they're retaining seats.
Yeah.
That's the most they can do at this point.
So the thing that we're learning so far is actually that... The Greens are the ones underperforming here. The Lib Dems are doing quite well, actually. The Conservatives are not getting wiped out as badly as expected. And Reform are doing pretty much par on the average of predictions at this point.
Yeah.
But the Greens are the ones who are underperforming. We've got, I think, more in from here. Here's a slightly updated one, actually, because this is the problem. So again, like the Lib Dems, this is the total number. The net change. You can see the net change at the bottom. But again, the Greens only on 27, Lib Dems on 37. Reform, of course, 400. This is the sort of thing we'd expect.
Just going through those, this has been Reform's election.
Yeah, of course.
Again, for
and
anyone...
everyone knew it would be.
Restore aren't in the game yet because they're too new.
Yeah.
They're still getting the nuts and bolts of party apparatus set up. So they weren't able to contest local election.
Just a quick thing on that. It's probably best to stay out of this.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because there is something titanic happening. And we'll get to that in a minute. But it's probably best to just let this play itself out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
this is not something that is something that clever campaigning can actually do. Turn.
Yes.
I actually think this is kind of written into the stars. The Labour and Conservative parties would just get absolutely stomped as a protest from the British electorate.
Yeah,
exactly. I think that was just going to happen. And I think that Reform are basically the vehicle they use.
Yeah, this is Act Two, where the movie monsters are fighting it out between them before the hero makes the entrance.
Absolutely.
So this is absolutely Reform's election. They've done extremely well. I believe Reform have taken a seat off. At least one seat off the Conservatives, Labour, Lib Dems and Greens. They've taken a seat off everybody.
Correct.
Okay, so it is entirely their election. Conservatives, in a normal year, that result would be a resigning matter for the Conservative leader.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
But luckily for Kemi...
She's not in the headlines.
No. This is a brutal beating for Labour.
And just to... I mean, look at the overall numbers at the moment.
Yes.
Right? The Conservatives are still ahead of the Labour Party, which is unusual in the local elections anyway. No one's going to be looking at the Conservatives and saying, you had a terrible night, because actually, they expected worse.
Yes.
Right? They expected to be completely crushed. The fact they're still ahead of the Lib Dems, and the Lib Dems are having a great night. So it's just like, okay, interesting. Very interesting.
Lib Dems, you're right, they are doing well, but well within... the third party status.
Yes.
This is a tremendous result if your ambition is to be third party.
Yes.
But it has shown, even in conditions like this, even with the most perfect setups conditions possible, the Lib Dems are never going to become the main opposition. They just can't. All they can do is third party. That's a strong result for third party, but that's it, right?
Yeah.
Greens, they are supposed to be emerging as the new second party in this paradigm. And it's all right.
I don't know. If I were the Greens, I'd be kind of annoyed. Like, I would be expecting more out of this.
Yeah, but it's Lib Dem territory. It's all right for an emerging second party, third tier party, but it's not. But that is not
the narrative around the Greens was Zach Polanski is soaring, is surging.
Oh yeah,
like the wind is in their sails. They're unstoppable.
He should have had hundreds.
Yeah,
and he's got, you know, an all right result for the Greens compared to where they have been, but. What this tells me...
And especially as it's the inner cities that, like you said, are coming in first.
Yes.
In fact, let me get a map up. Here we go, right? So, as you say, we've got a lot...
Yeah, that's exactly what I'd expect.
Yeah. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of London that's left out, and, you know, we've got some cities...
Portsmouth, but, I mean, that's pretty busy.
Birmingham hasn't come in yet. So don't get me wrong, and Manchester and
yep. Liverpool.
So don't get me wrong, the Greens are going to see a lot more gains in the future. But this hasn't been like the surge that I was expecting from the Greens.
I mean, maybe it changes when some of those other constituency comes in. But at the moment, it's like...
I think it probably does. I think that's probably fair. But it's not the energy that we were expecting. The social media game and the sort of self-narrative of the Greens hasn't actually been a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, this brings me to my point. Can you just go back one to the...
Yeah,
that one. So this brings me to my point, right, is that actually the Conservatives, Labour and Lib Dems, they're actually still in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Now, one of those four after reform are going to become the left-wing vote. It's probably not going to be the Conservatives because you've already got a supposed right-wing party.
Yeah.
So Labour, Lib Dems and the Greens, they're actually in contention. So if I was, let's put it this way, if I was Andy Burnham or Angela Rayner, I'd be looking at it as thinking, yeah, who's going to be the opposition to reform? Because that's the logic of the system.
Yeah.
Do Greens have escape velocity? And it's like, if that was a rocket, it's gone up. It's
not gone fast enough.
But it's probably going to come down in the ocean with a bang.
Yep. And that's exactly the way to look at this, I think.
Yep.
So let's get some individual highlights. Like Wigan is a great one. Where the North is, I think, just using reform as a weapon against Labour. Wigan has Labour have held Wigan Council, but lost all of the 22 seats it was defending to reform. So, as you can see, there were, you know, there's however many, like 70 seats on the council in Wigan, and Labour, because they're not being contested, cling on to the 42 that they've got.
Yeah.
But the ones that they were contesting all went to reform.
Wow, all of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, you can see reform have also taken off the Conservatives and Independents there as well.
You have to reform should be careful about this, right?
Yes.
Because I think your phrase that the North are using reform like a weapon against Labour is true, but they did that with Boris.
Yes.
The Red Wall.
And they didn't stick with those Tories, did they? You know, so like there's a lot of memes going around, which is genuinely funny. You know, and I'm totally behind our northern friends and countrymen in just use whatever tool is at hand to bludgeon the crap out of the traitorous system that's betrayed us.
Yes.
Just use whatever is at hand. But I think that...
But they will pick up another weapon when reform disappoints them.
Exactly. And this is the thing that, I mean, I don't know what Farage and that is taking from this, but what the Tories took from this is that they didn't have to actually do what they promised to do in the North. Mm. And so the Tories aren't getting the love that they might have. I mean, when Boris, I remember, you know, the famous picture of Boris going, yeah, after he took the North. Mm. And like, you know, Dominic Cummings in the background, like, you know, with his laptop and whatnot. Like, that felt like a genuine sea change in favour of the Conservatives. It looked like, oh my God, Boris has won the North.
They completely misunderstood the moment.
And they were traditional Tories about it. I'm like, okay, well, we're getting the knife now in the back, sorry, you know. And so reform,
they assumed, oh, that means there are voters now.
Yes.
And we own them.
And that's the thing about the Mogg thing, where he's like, no, there's a reform vote and a Tory vote.
Yes.
And it's like, no, there's not.
And Tories still think like that to this day. And I know, because every single time I finish a YouTube video, I get Jacob Rees-Mogg popped up telling me either that or that reform have got to somehow keep Tories on life support for some reason. What I can't.
For some inexplicable reason, we need to keep the Tories alive. So I don't think we do, actually.
Mm.
But the thing that reform, I think, need to take from this is this doesn't necessarily signal devoted, lifelong reform voters.
No.
Right? And that's the important thing. I do think reform is being used as a weapon against the enemies of the northern working class, which, again, I totally support. Use whatever you've got to hand. Don't mistake this for love of Farage and his Conservatives. Because all of the Conservative defectors, I mean, like I saw Zia Yusuf being like, right, the end's over, you can't now defect from the Tories. It's like, yeah, but why did you want to? Anyway, we'll carry on. Reform took Plymouth seat from the Greens, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Like quite a significant...
If Greens had had a good night, that wouldn't have happened.
This isn't a Labour area, but you can see the Conservatives and the Greens both took a hell of a whacking from reform there, which is interesting. You know, the Greens should be on the ascent. And as you pointed out, the Greens only do well if they've got students or Muslims, which Oxford happens to have a lot of. Yep. So the Greens have done quite well in Oxford, which, okay, good. That's, you know, good start.
But you kind of have to be either a young woman or a Muslim to think what the Greens are proposing. Well, the Muslims know what the Greens are proposing is good for them.
Oh, yeah.
The young women think that what the Greens are proposing are good for them. But you need to have that level of either, you know, sectarian self-interest or sheer naivety to vote for the Greens.
Yes. You have to be a wide-eyed bunny rabbit in the headlights to vote for them. I mean, like, this was... I don't even know where this was.
আমি সবাইকে অনুরোধ জানাচ্ছি আমার বাংলাদেশি কমিউনিটি যারা এই নিউ হোমে বসবাস করেন সবাইকে
Now I didn't catch a word of that but I'm
good luck in the Pakistani elections which are taking place across England today.
Correct, under the banner of the Green Party. Again, this would have been in one of those inner city areas where there's lots of Muslims or students, and so they're literally putting in the government. I mean, here's a report from Raja here, who's at the count in Oldham, a reformer, of course, doing well, but the leader of the Pakistani sectarian Oldham group and his entourage have just run out. Apparently someone smashed up his Ferrari. Have we been explaining to you that the Turkish barbers don't really ever seem to have customers in, but they all have very nice cars outside?
Well, we got a whole number of Turkish barbers in Swindon, and I noticed that the number of premium German autos outside almost always beats the number of customers inside, and I'm thinking. And I would say I'm no economist, but I am, and it doesn't make any sense to me how the economics of that adds up, unless I start making extra assumptions that the constabulary should be taking an interest in.
Yes, and this is just one of those things where everything kind of lines up here perfectly.
Yes.
So the white working class have decided no, we're just going to come out and vote for reform. Yes. The leaders of the illicit economy have turned up with their lovely things, and I don't know what happened with his Ferrari.
That's a terrible shame. The lovely cars they are, Ferraris.
They are beautiful, yeah. So, you know, best of luck for that chap getting that repaired. Anyway, so what conclusions can we draw from this? Now, this is More in Common director Luke Trill, who shares basically many of the conclusions I've come to, but we'll just listen to him a second.
When you look at those numbers, what's going through your mind?
I think we're seeing the death of two-party politics in real time. The Conservatives and Labour, you know, not even holding on to half of the seats that they are contesting. And I guess, you know, the way I'd sum it up is what you're seeing from the electorate is a rebellion against the status quo. We've been doing focus groups right around the country in the run-up to these elections. Very different areas, voters going in very different directions. The one thing they have in common is they say, we're not happy with the status quo. It's not working for us. We want something different. We had the Tories. That didn't work. We've had 2 years of Labour. We're not happy with that. We want something new.
And it is very early days.
And that literally is the response, the conclusions I've come to as well.
Yeah, I mean, so it's true. And he didn't say anything wrong there. But as I mentioned, a lot of the mainstream commentators are listening to analysis like that and saying, oh, that means first past the post is going to go. No, it's not. It just means that we're playing a game of musical chairs. There are two chairs, or two and a half chairs, and we've got five or six people running around the outside. It's going to shake out.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen.
And again, the point I was making of, don't mistake this as diehard loyalty to reform.
No.
Because I don't think this is. Like he says there, look, this is a revolt against the status quo. Yes. And the more like the status quo you seem going into the future, the less appealing I think you will remain. So, as in 2 years' time, if the party looks like a status quo party, it may well be that the people are like, well, that's not actually what I'm looking for.
Yeah, reform should understand that these votes are easy come, easy go.
Yeah. So there are some interesting events that have come out of this already. For example, the Conservatives have gained Westminster City Council.
Yes.
Which was Labour for a long time, obviously. And that's, again, that's some positive news for the Tories.
It's been a long time since the Conservatives had Westminster. But, I mean, it just goes to show, when you squish out to, you know, from 2.5-party system to a 6-party system, actually, you can have a beating like the Conservatives and yet still win in places because everything is so smeared out.
Yeah, so people are like, yeah, we're going to tear down those Banksy statues. This is the Colston statue being torn down in Bristol, obviously. But nobody expected it to happen. That's the thing.
Yeah.
None of the pollsters saw this coming because, like you said, the political environment is so shattered. It's actually very difficult to make any kind of predictions on this.
Yes.
Because you just don't know.
This is the one council in the country where they raise more from parking fines than they do for taxation.
Oh, probably, yeah. No doubt whatsoever.
Millions.
So this is a, like, London is actually quite an interesting place, and it's actually all in play. Connor had an excellent post here. Yes. About Bexley. Conservatives have held most of Bexley and outer London borough that Reform are hoping to flip ahead of the London mayoral elections in 2028. Reform came from Labour in Belvedere and Northumberland Heath, and from the Conservatives in Crayford and Westheath. I grew up here. Both Bexley Heath and Sidcup High Streets have declined in the last 5 years. The residents hate Sadiq Khan, don't want any HMOs, and cut ULEZ cameras down so often they've stopped putting them up. Reform didn't win here because their ground game was weak. I received one leaflet posted in an envelope from central office. Even the Greens were door knocking, and they don't have a hope in hell here. I spoke to the guy manning the reform stall in Bexley Heath High Street. Nice enough, but no enthusiasm. Maybe he was demoralised by tales of infighting I've heard in the local branch. Leading up to Election Day, Lalia Cunningham led an eclectic troop of multicultural canvassers to deliver leaflets to shoppers. Yeah, I saw literally they were shouting in Indian, vote reform. They were literally shouting in Indian. So,
okie doke.
Yeah. But Bexley residents moved to their Kent border to get away from London and its alienating demographics. They barely like bordering Erith, Abbeywood and Thamesmead as it is. Many don't want to be a part of the Greater London Authority. Put plainly, they want local English candidates. That's why the Tories won. The campaign materials were, here's local English man and woman, vote for us, keep parks clean and stop migrants moving in. That and the fact that local MP Lewis French is well liked and things haven't gotten too bad here yet, so some older residents don't notice what's going on across the country. I'm not saying the Conservatives fare better in the London mayoral race, but Reform is standing the wrong candidate and he has the wrong strategy for this area. Cunningham just isn't who most Bexley residents want.
So, I mean, a couple of points there. On the point of Bexley itself, Bexley Bromley, it's one of those areas which is, if you want to get out of London, but you can't because you still work in London, you need to be able to get a black cab into London, you need to be able to get into the office relative, you move to Bexley, Bromley, somewhere like that. So it's people who are in, there are Londoners, yep, but they don't want to be. This is the profile of a seat that Reform should absolutely smash. And what Connor is pointing out here is actually, you've got to do the work.
Yeah.
And it goes so much to your thing. You keep pushing this, you know, you keep doing the work in Swindon, you keep talking about setting up your local restore branches around the country, get people involved, turn up, and you might feel like a really small cog in the machine, but actually you've got to go out and leaflet, yep, half a dozen streets, two dozen, five dozen streets, whatever it is,
take it for granted.
And if you do the work, it makes a difference, and if you don't do the work, you won't win. Yep. So it just completely validates everything that you've been doing lately with Restore.
And also, representation really matters. As Connor points out, they just ran normal English people and said, we're just going to, yep, keep the place half decent, and Conservative win.
Yep.
Compare that to Reform's Boris waivers. So the Boris waiver candidates lost in Southampton. Nigerian Toriola Coker and Zimbabwean national Trichaeus Chitsika failed to win their council seats.
Shocking.
Well, it's funny, actually, right? It's really, right, really funny, because you can actually look at the people involved. So, Troliola Isaiah Coker here got 400 votes
did he lose to?
The Greens. Misty Calanthea Delamoth Burgess. Some Norman aristocrat posh girl.
Misty Chlamydia Baguette.
Absolutely destroyed.
That is the most green name I've ever heard yet.
Exactly. Imagine how wide-eyed and doe-eyed and, you know, like, literally misty-eyed, like, she must be to trounce him nearly 3-1.
And okay, yeah.
Like, sorry, what are we doing here?
So all that time we spent making fun of Reform for their candidates, as usual, we were doing them a favour.
Yes.
And as usual, Nigel Farage came out and attacked us. Oh, I don't like these attacks on our candidates. Yeah, because they're losing candidates.
Yes.
And we tried to tell you.
And
you doubled down on it, you prat.
Here's Trichaeus Chitsika, who lost to Phil Webb of Labour.
And ladies and gentlemen, your based nationalist party, or at least pretending to be, fielded Treacle Chitslapper and was beaten by Phil Webb.
And David Fuller. Like, again, the most normie English names possible completely trounced the Reform candidate.
But how predictable.
Yeah, we told you not to run.
Why could you not see this, Nigel Farage? How have you been... you must have been so soaked in post-war liberal ideology for 50, 60 years that you literally cannot see reality at this point.
Yeah. I mean, people would rather vote for the posh girl with four ridiculous names.
One of which is chlamydia.
Yeah. Than for someone from who's literally from Zimbabwe.
And you give them Phil Webb and they're like, yep, yeah. Fine. Well, I don't care what party he's in. I'm voting for Phil Webb.
Again, the same thing happened in Portsmouth where they put up, again, the literal Boris waiver on a student visa. He lost too. Mo Asadazuman.
Right, the thing is, I know Portsmouth.
Yep.
You should absolutely crush it in Portsmouth.
Yeah, I know. Good God.
I mean, Portsmouth is a weird place in many ways. I mean, for a start, the average Pompeian has a greater linear frontage of motor car than they do of house. So parking,
that's why the Lib Dems won it, by the
yes,
way.
Yes. So parking is almost impossible in Portsmouth. But the other thing about Portsmouth, right, is because they're so squished in and it's such like a little microcosm, they don't really have common people and posh people. They're just like this mongrel people. It's all kind of merged into one and they all live right next to each other. Yeah. And it's not obvious what's what, right? But what they are is 100% common sense Englishmen.
Yeah.
Well, apart from the ones who aren't English, right? So I spent a lot of time there because when we had COVID going on, Winchester was bloody insufferable. Yeah. Whereas in Portsmouth, they're like, yeah, we're not doing this shit.
Yeah.
These people see through it. So I'm surprised that Reform did not do stronger there, but maybe it's just a candidate thing.
It must be because, I mean, literally, this is the central South Sea ward.
Right.
Addy Azaduzaman, Reform, got 661 votes. Beating the Conservatives, don't get me wrong, but losing to Labour and the Greens, but primarily losing to Kate Dorrington, the
most English name we've heard so far.
She sounds like a Pirates of the Caribbean character.
Yes.
Like, come on. And she absolutely, again, from a 3-to-1 ratio, crushed you.
She sounds like she runs a tea shop.
Yes. Yes, she does. You know, a lovely little English cafe. So, yeah, but this is enough to make sure that Lib Dems hold the council.
The thing is, right?
Reform in total, 2,000 votes, like on this one, like just like it's everywhere.
If you look at the wards where Reform ran an Englishman,
they did quite well.
They won them.
Yeah.
I think it might have been on the previous tab, actually. There you go. If you click into that second bit. Yeah. So look, Reform did win in Portsmouth for Sam Copeland with Carl. That one's a bit funny. Lamentable Louise Fudge.
Louise Fudge.
But
again,
okay.
Like,
oh, well, that's English then.
Yeah.
Russell Peter William Simpson. I mean, he was taking no chances. Yeah. He gave us four English names,
yeah.
And of course he won.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah.
Who didn't win? Oh, Zeke Azari or whatever. You know.
I mean, in the Lib Dems' defence here, Abdul Kadir did win for the Lib Dems in that.
Oh, they got one.
Baffins.
They got one. I mean, but even put, but that, yeah, that's Baffin.
But there's quite a lot to suggest that this was not a good idea.
Yes.
Anyway, right. So far, no gains at all for Labour. So they didn't win anything. They managed to defend.
Even the Conservatives won a whole council.
Yeah. They didn't win anything. They defended a few things.
Labour haven't won a single seat, let alone gained a single seat. They've retained some.
Yeah. Absolute bloodbath for Labour. Absolute. I mean, this couldn't have been more brutal, really. And again, going back, they defended about 55%, but they lost about 45% and they won nothing. So,
yeah.
Rough.
It's hard to get worse than that, really.
It genuinely is. We go to the Labour live reaction from a senior Labour source. I'm not going to read it out because it's beep beep.
He has basically said everything that we've said this show, except in a slightly more concise form.
Yes. A senior Labour source.
Effing effed for those who are listening.
Yeah, it just couldn't be worse.
Yes.
And as the BBC pointed out, they've changed the bloody thing. I thought I had linked to it. Starmer kept coming up on the doorstep. right? Starmer kept coming up over and over and over, where people are like, no, I just hate Keir Starmer. I don't want to vote for him and or his party, which is not a great surprise because we everyone's well aware of how the public...
I bet that's not the word, the actual words they used on the doorstep.
Probably not word for word.
Yes.
So anyway, Ed Miliband has privately told Keir Starmer now you should really set out the timeline for your resignation.
Well, that's a reasonably big intervention. He's a former leader.
Yep.
He's well respected in the party. Yep. Probably won't be him because he's already had a go and he's failed.
Yep.
But that is that. Really, that's as big as an intervention as you can get in the Labour Party. I don't think there's anyone else who really ranks above him on the, oh, if they're saying
he's... Yeah, grandees, it's him or David Lammy, really.
So it's him then.
Yeah, it's him.
You know,
like, but the point is, Ed Miliband is, as you say, like, you know, a genuine influence in the Parliamentary Labour Party at the moment, and apparently has told Keir, look, you've got to get out of here.
Because you think
you're destroying us. What do you think Keir Starmer's response has been?
A thousand years of Starmer managerial decline ahead.
That's exactly it.
Oh really? Let's watch. Right. There we go. Right.
I'm not going to walk away and plunge the country into chaos. We were elected to deal with these challenges, and that's what we will do.
Has Ed Miliband asked you to set out a timetable for your departure?
Well, I think Ed Miliband has dealt with this and made absolutely clear that he supports me.
What do you say to those in your party that are really upset with you, they don't think you're getting it, and they're calling for your resignation? What do you say to would-be challengers and the party? What's your message?
I think it's very important that we don't sugarcoat these results, so I'm not going to do that. They are tough results, I accept that. They reflect voters who don't feel that their lives have changed enough or quickly enough, and that's been going on for a long time. We were elected to deal with that, and I'm not going to walk away from that responsibility and plunge the country into chaos.
You already have, mate.
Amazing, isn't it?
Well, and by the way, for 40K fans, we are living in the 40K timeline. That man is a psychic blank. He has no he has no soul. He has no personality, no soul.
It's so
it's kind
good.
Of hard to insult him because
No. Hang on. What are you talking about? Like, I mean, like, for example, like the Burnside's great. This is a great tweet. The British people are sending us a message. We're listening. They want us to go further and faster, which is why we're rolling out breakfast clubs to workplaces, speeding up asylum approvals, building more mosques than ever. I mean, that's literally the message that Keir Starmer is putting out here.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to be here. I mean, he literally said the other day, I'm going to be here until 2029. I'm going to fight it out. And the people are just like, oh, hang on a second, what are you talking about? No, I will not be standing down. This only strengthens my resolve to deliver, which is why we're pushing for nationwide breakfast clubs so people finally feel the change that Labour was elected to deliver. Like, it's just a parody, like, at this point. Like,
you can imagine him in private just saying, don't the British people understand there is so much more decline to manage?
Genuinely,
yes,
that is exactly what is happening with the Labour Party.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Now, bad luck if you support Labour or you're a member of the Labour Party. Something like that, right? However, as Maven points out, if you're on the right, this is good news. Defeats Britain's first BAME PM to get elected, mass arrests of left-wing radicals wanting to stop the Gaza genocide, cut migration by over two-thirds, which is true, by the way, passed legislation to make it harder to get citizenship, strengthen the new left-wing party ran by a literal retard. And I've said this about the Greens, they're a total cul-de-sac. Their upper limit is about 20% at best, and they're never going any further than that. So you don't.
And that's why I'm quite happy for them to become the new second party.
Oh, God, please. You know, please. Yeah. I want Zach Polanski in everyone's faces every day. Because the more exposure... Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The more exposure you have to Zach Polanski's ugly mug, the more people are like, oh, I'm just sick of him. Just sick of him. You know? So...
I think I know what I'm going to tweet out after this. It's something along the lines of... Imagine you are Keir Starmer and you've just won the general election. Right, and your mission is to get to here in only 2 years. Do you genuinely think that if you were trying to sabotage the Labour Party, you could have done as good a job as him
Well, I let me finish this quickly.
Yeah.
You know, don't do a single thing your voters want you to do. Destroy the Labour Party electorally. Give the new right-wing party the best results ever. Say, I take responsibility and this strengthens my resolve.
Yeah.
If Keir Starmer was a sleeper agent designed to destroy the Labour Party, what would he do differently?
Exactly. I don't think, with all of my political acumen and the genuine desire to destroy the Labour Party, I could have outperformed him.
You couldn't have made your hatred
if
for the country
more
obvious.
You'd assembled all of the right-wing commentators, you got the best of the best, and you sat, and we were going to secretly pull the strings of Keir Starmer, we couldn't have done better than this.
No, he's done a great job for us. So thank you, Mr. Starmer. Please hang on until 2029. I want the Labour Party completely destroyed.
And then take over running the Green Party, if possible.
Well, and then jump ship to the Tories, mate, you know. Anyway, so that's honestly all good stuff. I'm happy. I'm very happy with this set of elections. And so people are like, well, okay, what's happening in Great Yarmouth?
Oh, yes.
We don't know is the answer, because the count began apparently 11 p.m. today.
Oh,
so
right.
It's still going on as we are talking. So we're not going to get those results.
By the time this video goes up, we might know.
Yeah, but at the time of recording, we don't know. But lots of our guys were down there. Rupert Lowe was out campaigning all day. Literally, 350 was the estimate from, I think it was it Sky News or New Statesman or someone like that? Activists had descended on Great Yarmouth. And we've had lots, again, Josh and Bo and that were down there. And they were just like, there were the Great Yarmouth first signs everywhere. Everyone, about half of the people we spoke to were just like, definitely voting for
they
you.
Did the work.
They did the work. And so it looks like, Rupert wants that. There are 10 seats up for grabs, and Rupert wants to win them all, and it looks like they might. So, again, I'm not like one of those sort of like,
fingers crossed for that one, then.
Fingers crossed. Mm. But let's juxtapose that with Farage's prediction.
The party isn't even registered. He won't be on 1% anywhere, not even probably in Great Yarmouth. Thank you.
Press X to doubt.
Look at Danny Kruger's face.
Yep.
He's not laughing. He doesn't go
on sentiment. He actually thinks about this stuff.
He's a smart guy.
Yes.
You know, you might not agree with him, but on a personal level, I do quite like him. And he's a smart guy. And he knows that this is not correct. He's not going to be on 1% in Great Yarmouth.
Yep.
And everyone laughing, ha, ha, ha.
Well, I mean, just before we came on air, Nigel Farage put out another tweet, which he said, the best is yet to come.
It's true.
And in the context of Restore, I think he's right.
So anyway, excellent entertainment, frankly, from the right, from these local elections. As I said, the results are still coming in. And so the thing to look out for now is what the actual final result is in comparison to the predictions. Now, if this is sort of like a mean prediction for Reform, and the upper end of predictions is somewhere about 1,850, and the lower limit is somewhere around 1,300. If they end up with around 1,300, then actually that's them underperforming.
Mm.
If they end up with around 1,700, then that's overperforming. So that's the thing to, I think, really take away from this when all the results are finally in.
Well, given the scale of the Labour collapse, it'd be difficult for them not to hit target.
Well, yeah, but think about like these are the average of the predictions so far.
Yes.
Green 656, Lib Dems 152. Well, that's not what we saw in the results coming in, actually. Mm. The Lib Dems are far outpacing the Greens. So the Lib Dems are actually completely overtaking the Greens when it comes to what the actual prediction was. So, I mean, the Lib Dems, plus, are they already...
Well, and actually, if you think about it, the Lib Dems, they're kind of the same type of animal. They fill the same environmental niche, which is to say, we don't want any of the establishment options, but
we're not
crazy. You don't really know who you want to vote for.
Yeah, the Greens have the kind of sheen of craziness around them.
Yeah, but most people don't know that. Yes.
I think there's a sense of it.
Yep.
I think there is a sense of, I don't know about them. So I think that the Lib Dems are going to overperform here. The Greens are going to underperform. I suspect that Reform will probably get 1,400, is my sense of it. They're doing well, but I don't think they're going to smash it.
Probably the overperformer is going to be the Conservatives.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean just not lose as many seats.
Exactly. They're not going to lose as much as people expected them to lose. But anyway, so yeah, the local elections in Britain, normally not very exciting.
Yeah.
But these ones have been great, and we look forward to the final tally.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all Bonnie 4.5-inch vegetable and herbs are on sale through May 17th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money.